7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Begin transmission.
Okay, that's weird. That's double weird. Triple weirdness. What the hell's going on? Okay, here we go. This is getting weirder by the second, as you would expect, because the current time is 1930 UTC. And of course that means you're listening to another exciting episode of The Dubious Goals Committee. Dubious Goals Committee time. I'm out at Tranquility Park in the usual spot. There's some fresh puffballs on this log, but they've already been eaten by bugs. It did actually rain a little bit yesterday, just a tiny amount. Everything is still very dry. And I'm not out here looking for mushrooms. No. I thought I'd come out and look for marmots today, out here at Tranquility Park, Gyro Ball side. But as soon as I got out of my car, I saw something weird. I saw a porta potty on the other side of the creek. And then I could see equipment. And then now I can see a truck. Okay, yeah. There's a bunch of weird crap going on up here. There's heavy equipment. They're doing stuff. I'm walking by the scary tree. There's nothing to be seen. Suddenly it's windy. Yep, alright, something's happening up here. Well, we might as well give up looking for marmots. There's some construction. On the other side of the creek, I'm seeing trucks, heavy equipment, the porta potty, some kind of large machine thingy. What is that thing? Okay, yeah, one big crane or backhoe, plus we got one on this side doing stuff. Huh. They're putting in big rocks. There's some... Yeah, they have... Wow, what is this all about? They've taken some giant riprap. Except it's not riprap if it's that big. Right? And they've put it in the creek where they put up that coffer. Wow. And so I'm standing 15 meters behind a giant excavator that's moving rocks into the coffer. And in front of me, in 3 meters in front of me, is a giant sled. And here he comes. He's going to pick up some more rocks. And he's going to dump them in the thing. Okay. Ooh, here he comes, scooping right towards me. Very scoopy. And he's gonna dump them all down in there. He's moving the thing around. It's all very loud. It's all very exciting. This guy's really good with an excavator. Now what's he doing? He's gotta move all the rocks and dump them into the thing. I hope I'm not standing where I don't wanna be. But I probably am. Because I'm actually starting to not feel good because I'm standing in the sun. So, we got another excavator over there. We got another skip over there. We got, what is all this action? Well, how very exciting. The other thing that's really bothering me is the wind. It wasn't this windy at my house. I even went outside. I checked, I looked at all the windows, I looked at all the trees, no wind. I went outside, I walked around outside my house and into my backyard. No wind. But now out here, out in the Papio Valley, we got the breeze going. Okay. So I've turned around. And I'm heading back out the way I came. Because we're not going to find any action out here today. with all this noise, with all this hubbub, with all this commotion, I'm not going to find any marmots. So I'm stopping back by these puffballs. These are pear puffs that are on this little piece of log here. And some bugs have already been eating them, and they're kind of gross looking, and they're not very photogenic. There's no photos here. All right, so what's the plan? I guess the plan is going to be to go home and do some synth, because I tweaked on that thing last night, and so now I have more synth, but I don't have any more patch cables, so we can't do any more. Enough is enough. I'm back in the synth zone, and I am not alone. The cat is trying to sleep behind the synthesizer again. She's made a nest out of the blanket, and we're probably going to wake her up. Oh well. Hoot hoot. Hoot hoot. So, yeah, last night I was tweaking on all this weird stuff that we've got going on, and I added a thing, sort of a thing. We were working on changing up some of the drum stuff, right? Where is that? Yeah. I've got this little noise burst, and it's now our cymbal, okay? And I've done some weird stuff. I've run some clock and some gates into a trigger and did all this stuff, and then I thought, okay, but this just sounds like noise. And so I thought, well, maybe we need to envelope it. So I got the old envelope kind of controlled by this function generator. And as you can hear, it switches between sort of double time here and single time. And then it goes double. Yay. And I did that with the offset and did a whole bunch of other weird stuff, and I got lost. I lost track of everything I did, but I still don't like this. The cymbal is just too much, it's just too much noise and not enough variation and not enough interest. So I thought, okay, so how are we going to do this? We've only got like one patch cable left, because I can't remember all of what I did here. I added so many things, I just kept, oh, well, we still got some patch cables, what else is left? Then I ran out of patch cables. And then I remembered the one super long patch cable we were using for the APC to plug into the FM. And now I'm going to take that cable, and it's going to be weird. Because we're going to take some pitch information, the pitch information in the performance sequencer that's doing this. And we're going to take this pitch and we're going to plug it into the decay of the function generator to vary the decay of the cymbal, so we'll get some variation here. Yeah. Is that any better? We get crispy little tip, 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 tip. Then we get some tss. That helps. As opposed to this. What if we go in the attack? Yeah, it's not going to make much of a difference. What if we go back to the delay or the decay? Let's just change this a little bit. Too much. What if we go the other direction? No. Huh. Okay, well, let's leave it at that for now. Because I did something else, too. The other cool thing, and this was purely brilliant. You know, since we have this double time clock thing going, I was thinking, okay, here's what we do. Because we can. And since we have the manual switch, ever since we moved the pitch shifting to the automated switch, the manual switch is now open. And so, what I did was, I took the offset, one of the spare offsets that's being stepped through by the automatic switch, and I took that offset and I put it into the manual switch. And then I had to split some clock, and then needless to say, I got this plugged into the quantizer and the offset diddly diddly thing, which then goes into the sample and hold unit that's controlling, well, this. And that's what gives us our random melody, which basically sounds like this. And we can ramp up the complexity of this. See, it's pretty simple now, right? It's just going between a couple different notes. But we can turn this knob up and we get more. It gives us a wider range to select from. And does all kinds of fun stuff. Turn it back down here. Now, when we turn the switch, it doubles the clock that's going into this. So right now we just have a note on the beat, right? But if I flip the switch, oh, you can't hear it at this point. Let's go back to normal. Let's take this up to many, many notes. And now I'll flip the switch and flip it into double time clock in 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Flip the switch back. And crank the knob down. And so what we get there is, like slurs. The way that we're making that particular voice, that sound gets enveloped on the beat, because that envelope is coming from where? Florian, I think. Yeah, we're using Florian's envelope. It doesn't matter. And so it clocks, and when it clocks, it samples the random voltage, and then it quantizes it, and then we hear the note. When we throw the double clock in, the double clock is clocking the sample and hold, but it's not clocking the envelope. So the envelope still only triggers on the beat, but the sample and hold resamples twice as often, and so we get more notes, but they are slurred, just like you would slur a flute or a stringed instrument or whatever, meaning that you are fingering another note, but you're not breathing again or taking another bow stroke or picking this another note. You're just letting the note run. So what does it all sound like together, Tobe? Well, it does sound kind of cool. Let's get it all ready to go here. I forget how to set this up because it's all wonky. Let's start there. Let's reset this. Do this, do that, do this, that, and the other thing. Turn up our drum beat. Okay, so here. I'm going to put the microphone down so I can use two hands. Press record now. Thank you. And yeah, you may have also noticed that I also... what else did I do? Yeah, I offset the thingy. Here, if we flip this over to 3, you can hear that loud twank, twanky, twank. Okay, because I had a leftover patch cable, and because I had places to plug it in, meaning into the offset, I took one of those offsets. Oh yeah, it was the splitter. And you know where we split the offset to make the tinkly tanklies louder? Here. Listen to this. See how that gets sharper? Back to dull. And we go through it twice. Well, I took the same offset that makes this sharper. Dull, here we go. Sharper. I took this same thing and I plugged it, that same offset, and I plugged it into the melody thing. Here we go. Yeah, so at the same time that the duka-duka-duka-duka gets a little bit sharper, the melody jumps up. And back down. And I did this thinking, oh, it'll just be some more melodic interest. But now that I'm actually listening to it, I'm thinking maybe not, only because when it's just covering up the doke docks now. Because this thing gets sharper and louder and jumps out, it kind of covers up this. The doke docks getting crispier and brighter. So, Yeah, anyway, let's switch this to 4. Because now, I also added this. And that's just the last unused position in the automated switch that's spitting out an offset, so I just fed it over into, what is it going into? The cross modulation? Or is it going into the wave folding? The envelope is into the wave folding. Yeah, okay, so yeah. We got cross modulation. So I can do that by hand, or... Yeah, see, I got this knob. I can turn the knob. Or hit the switch. And then it goes automatic. That's not me. Yeah, so, when we get to that one spot, we get this growly business, and it just switches over. It's not gradual. Listen for it. Yeah, it's not exactly subtle. But, you know, it was one of those things. I had a patch cable. We can put something in there. Oh, yeah. Luckily, I can switch that out. Because the automatic switch has a manual switch. And the automatic switch can switch between 2, 3, or 4 outputs. And I can do it on the fly. So let's go to 2. This is the most convenient one. This goes back and forth. Okay, so I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, Tobe, this is great and all, but it's not very good. It's not, this is, what kind of music is this supposed to be? Oh my God, what are you doing just making all this noise? Well, I'll admit, this is not the most fascinating music, but it's academically just absolutely fascinating. How this is all coming about is interesting, but what do you do with it, right? What's the end goal here? Well, I don't know, but what I'm hearing I'm hearing in this something else. This is not the piece. What this is giving me the technique for doing something else, like the Ato Miko Kagare dancing. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow, because I've run out of time. Yeah. You've been listening to the Dubious Weird Synthesizer Committee, a show that airs every damn day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I'm gonna mess with this some more, and let's take it out. Let's get this over with. This is the end of the line.
This is the end of the line for me.
It works every time.
The end of the line, yes. Thank you.